And I want to welcome you and wish you a very, very good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and on today we are going to be offering, you could say a tribute, but also a celebration of life. On August 31st, headlines announced that Dr. Wayne Dyer, self-help guru and motivational speaker, has died at 75. On today's program, we're actually going to celebrate his work and life, and I'll be playing a few excerpts for you of some of his work. For those of you who are not familiar with Wayne Dyer, he was an internationally renowned author and speaker in the fields of self-development and spiritual growth. He was the author of over 41 books, including 21 New York Times bestsellers. He has created many audio and video programs and has appeared on thousands of television and radio shows. He also has 10 PBS specials that he had created, and I believe this was very gratifying for him because he was able to raise over $250 million for public television. His books, Manifest Your Destiny, Wisdom of the Ages, There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem, and the New York Times bestsellers, 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace, The Power of Intention, Inspiration, Change Your Thoughts, Change Your Life, Excuses Be Gone, Wishes Fulfilled, and I Can See Clearly Now. All of these have been featured on PBS stations. Dr. Wayne Dyer was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. He held a doctorate in educational counseling from Wayne State University and served as an associate professor at St. John's University in New York. Through his early work in college teaching and clinical psychology, he discovered the need to make the principles of self-discovery and personal growth available to a wider audience. His first book for general readers, Your Erroneous Zones, was published in 1976. It became an international bestseller and launched his career as an author and speaker. After publishing a string of best-selling books on the practical psychology of self-improvement, Dr. Dyer says he felt a shift occurring in his thinking that led him to explore the spiritual aspects of human experience. My purpose is to help people look at themselves and to begin to shift their concepts. Remember, we are not our country, our race, or religion. We are eternal spirits. Seeing ourselves as spiritual beings without label is a way to transform the world and reach a sacred place for all of humanity. Dr. Wayne Dyer is affectionately called the father of motivation by his fans. Despite his childhood spent in orphanages and foster homes, Dr. Dyer has overcome many obstacles to make his dreams come true. Today he spends much of his time showing others, or has spent, how to do the same. And I believe his legacy will be that through his works he will continue to do this. His main message is that it is possible for every person to live an extraordinary life. What's more, it is possible for every person to manifest their deepest desires. If they honor their inner divinity, and consciously choose to live from their higher self. When he was not traveling the globe delivering his uplifting words, Dr. Dyer was writing from his home in Maui and enjoyed the beauty of nature. He loved swimming, sea creatures, and visits with his children and grandchildren. So he had a beautiful and fulfilling life, a very long life, and he contributed to the benefit of millions and millions of people around the globe. So I believe that such a person who gave so much was very much in need of honoring, and I'm sure he's being honored from many around the world. I wanted to do my part by honoring his life today. And he had some challenges, some health challenges over the last few years. In 2009, he had been diagnosed with lymphocytic leukemia, and he has had a number of experiences in that healing process since that time. He certainly lived long after the diagnosis, much more than some people might have thought possible. And I know he had an experience going down to Central America to visit with John of God, and that was part of his healing process. And so, you know, his journey has been a very prolific, dynamic one, and he didn't come from money or didn't come from a cushy life. He had struggles in his early life, and he worked very hard to get to a point of surrendering into his true calling. And once he did that, his life took off in a way that transformed not only himself, but everyone that he touched. So we're going to honor him today by playing a few pieces of his work. And the first piece we're going to hear from a program called Being in Balance. And it's in one of his many audio programs, and we're going to hear a bit of the introduction of that program in the next few moments. And then as we come back, I'll share a little bit more with you about my personal experience in meeting and interviewing Dr. Wayne Dyer. And it's interesting, certainly to me, and I'm grateful that I had an opportunity to have that up-close experience of being able to meet with him. And I want to give you an opportunity to make that connection today. So we're going to go to that first audio clip by Wayne Dyer from his program, Being in Balance. And then stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Is dormant within the dreams of one acorn. And this opening chapter is about balancing your dreams with your habits. Two quotes, one from James Allen. Quote, "The greatest achievement was at first and for a time a dream. The oak sleeps in the acorn, the bird sleeps in the egg, and in the highest vision of the soul, a waking angel stirs. Dreams are the seedlings of realities." Unquote. And from Ernest Holmes, quote, "True imagination is not fanciful daydreaming, it is fire from heaven." Unquote. One of the huge imbalances in life is the disparity between your daily existence with its routines and habits and the dream you have deep within yourself of some extraordinarily satisfying way of living. In the quote that opens this chapter, James Allen poetically explains that the dream is the magical realm out of which newly created life emerges. Buried within you is an unlimited capacity for creation, what Allen calls a waking angel that's anxious to plant seedlings to fulfill your dreams and your destiny. I simply couldn't resist adding the Ernest Holmes quote describing this dynamic imagination as, quote, "fire from heaven," unquote. They're both appropriate invitations and reminders that you need to tend to that burning fire, the dream within you, if living a balanced life is important to you. How does this balance show up in your life? This absence of balance between dreams and habits may be very subtle. It doesn't necessarily reveal itself in the obvious symptoms of heartburn, depression, illness, or anxiety. It's more often something that feels like an unwelcome companion by your side, which continually whispers to you that you're ignoring something. There's some often unidentifiable task or experience that you sense as part of your beingness. It may seem intangible, but you can feel the longing to be what you are intended to be. Your sense that there's a higher agenda. Your way of life and your reason for life are out of balance. Until you pay attention, this subtle visitor will continue to prod you to regain your equilibrium. Think of a balance scale with one side weighted down and the other side up, like a teeter-totter with an obese child on one end and a skinny kid on the other. In this case, the heavy end that tips the scale out of balance is the overweight kid representing your everyday behaviors, the work you do, the place where you reside, the people with whom you interact, your geographic location, the books you read, the movies you see, and the conversations that fill up your life. It's not that any of these things are bad in and of themselves. The imbalance exists because they're unhealthy for your particular life. They simply don't mesh with what you've imagined yourself to be. When it's unhealthy, it's wrong, and on some level, you feel that. When you live your life going through the motions, it may seem to be convenient, but the weight of your dissatisfaction creates a huge imbalance in the only life you have, now. You're perplexed by the ever-present gnawing feeling of dissatisfaction that you can't seem to shake that pit-of-the-stomach sensation of emptiness. It shows up when you're sound asleep and your dreams are filled with reminders of what you'd love to be, but you wake and return to pursuing your safe routine. Your dreams are also demanding your attention in waking life when you're petulant and argumentative with others. Because in actuality, you're so frustrated with yourself that you try to relieve the pressure by venting anger outward. Imbalance masquerades as a sense of frustration with your current lifestyle. If you allow yourself to think about this fire from heaven, you proceed to rationalize your status quo with explanations and mental meanderings that you know in your heart are excuses because you don't think you have the tools to get in balance. You may get to a point where you become increasingly hard on yourself and begin seeking medication and other treatments for feelings of inadequacy and for what's called depression. You'll surely witness yourself feeling more and more angry and moody with more frequent occurrences of minor afflictions such as colds, headaches, and insomnia. As time goes on, in this state of imbalance, there's less enthusiasm for what has become the drudgery of life. Work is now even more routine, with even less purpose and drive. These blahs begin appearing in your behavior towards your family and those you love. You're easily agitated, picking on others for no apparent reason. If you're able to be honest with yourself, you recognize that your irritability stems from being out of balance with the bigger dream you've always had, but which is now apparently slipping away. When these subtle symptoms surface, it's crucial to explore the kind of energy you're giving to the scale to create balance, or, in this case, imbalance. The heavy angst is weighing down your reason for being. But you are the only one who can rebalance the scale of your life. Here are some tools to help you return to a balanced life, beginning with recognizing the ways in which you may be sabotaging yourself. Mental energy that makes the manifestations of your dreams impossible. Your desire to be and live from greatness is an aspect of your spiritual energy. In order to create balance in this area of your life, you have to use the energy of your thoughts to harmonize with what you desire. Your mental energy attracts what you think about. Thoughts that pay homage to frustration will attract frustration. When you say or think anything resembling, "There's nothing I can do, my life is spun out of control and I'm trapped," that's what you'll attract. That is, resistance to your highest desires. Every thought of frustration is like purchasing a ticket for more frustration. Every thought that agrees that you're stuck is asking the universe to send you even more of that glue to keep you stuck. The single most important tool to being in balance is knowing that you and you alone are responsible for the imbalance between what you dream your life is meant to be and the daily habits that drain life from that dream. You can create a new alignment with your mental energy and instruct the universe to send opportunities to correct this imbalance. When you do so, you discover that while the world of reality has its limits, the world of your imagination is without boundaries. Out of this boundless imagination comes the seedlings of a reality that's been crying out to be restored to a balanced environment. Restoring the balance. The objective of this principle is to create a balance between dreams and habits. The least complicated way to begin is to recognize the signs of habitual ways of being and then learn to shift your thinking to being in balance with your dreams. So what are your dreams? What is it that lives within you that never ever has gone away? What inner nightlight continues to glow even if it's only a glimmer in your thoughts and dreams? Whatever it is, however absurd it may seem to others, if you want to restore the balance between your dreams and your habits, you need to make a shift in the energy that you're contributing to your dreams. If you're out of balance, it's primarily because you've energetically allowed your habits to define your life. Those habits and the consequences thereof are the results of the energy you've given them. In the early stages of the rebalancing process, concentrate on this awareness. You get what you think about, whether you want it or not. Commit to thinking about what you want rather than how impossible or difficult that dream may seem. Give your personal dreams a place to hang out on the balance scale so that you can see them in your imagination and they can soak up the energy they deserve. Thoughts are mental energy. They're the currency that you have to attract what you desire. You must learn to stop spending that currency on thoughts you don't want, even though you may feel compelled to continue your habitual behavior. Your body might continue for a while to stay where it's been trained to be, but meanwhile, thoughts are being aligned with your dreams. The esteemed 19th century writer Louisa May Alcott phrases this idea in an encouraging and an inspiring manner. She says, quote, "Far away in the sunshine are my highest inspirations. I may not reach them, but I can look up and see the beauty, believe in them, and try to follow where they lead." Choosing to restore a semblance of balance between your dreams and your habits seems possible with Ms. Alcott's phrases in mind. Look up and see and believe in them. The words bring to life an energetic alignment. Rather than putting your thoughts on what is or what you've habitually thought for a lifetime, you shift to looking up and seeing and firmly believing in what you see. When you begin to think in this manner, the universe conspires to work with you and sends you precisely what you're thinking and believing. It doesn't always happen instantaneously, but once the realignment is initiated in your thoughts, you've begun being in balance. The habit of thinking in alignment with your dreams. Oscar Wilde once observed that we're all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars. This is a perfect example of what it means to align your vision and thoughts so that they're balanced with what you sense you're here to be. A thought such as, "It is my intention to create a place to help underprivileged children," is in reality a message to the universe. If you feel strongly that you came here for a particular purpose, then you should cultivate energy to match this dream. It doesn't matter what the circumstances of your life are. Your current financial status is unimportant when it comes to your pursuit of this purpose. The presence of a gaggle of naysayers shouldn't sway you or make you doubt your attraction to your calling. What you're doing as you get your life balanced with your dream is beginning to co-create your life. Co-creation is cooperatively using the energy from the invisible field of spirit. It is perfectly balancing your in-the-world calling with the pure energy of creation. You emulate this creation field by being as much like it as possible. This involves your willingness to contemplate yourself as a being of balance, attracting the conditions you desire to produce. It is in the contemplation of this power that you actually acquire this power. I'm going to re-say that. It is in the contemplation of this power that you actually acquire this power. Listen to this statement until it sticks with you like superglue. You cannot manifest a place for helping underprivileged children by contemplating the impossibility of that happening. Even if you're in the gutter, you have the option of looking at the stars. This means thinking star thoughts and rejecting the weight of those that attract the gutter. Your balance point is a certainty that you affirm with thoughts along the lines of, "I know it, I desire it, it's on its way, nothing can stop it, and there's nothing for me to be upset about." This alignment will completely turn your world around. The universe is based on a law of attraction. You begin seeing the universe conspiring with you to attract the right people, the right finances, and the seemingly synchronistic events to turn your dreams into reality here and now. When you're balanced with thoughts of deserving this cooperation from the world of spirit, you actively engage in bringing it about. You're enjoying the lightness of being in balance with the creative energy of life. It's no longer possible to sit around complaining or feeling frustrated. You are energized. Why? Because you're balanced with the source of all creation. And just like it, you access creativity by attracting all that you need with your thoughts. It just doesn't work if you're in a state of imbalance, complaining, living in fear, or expecting the worst. The same logic of realignment for balancing your dream energy with your daily habits applies to anything you're capable of imagining. Writing and producing your own music album, training horses, adopting a child from an impoverished land, owning your own home in the country, landing the job that's always eluded you, making the kind of money that will free you from debt, running a marathon, you name it. And if you can dream it, you can achieve it. But only if you align your inner creative energy, your thoughts, so that they match up perfectly with your desires. Thoughts that reinforce current habits that are incongruous with your desire must be replaced with aligned energy. No one has said it better than Jesus of Nazareth. Believe that you shall receive, and you shall receive. What's the point of living a life disputing such imbalanced wisdom?
And that was the one and only Dr. Wayne Dyer, and he was an internationally renowned author and speaker in the fields of self-development and spiritual growth. And he transitioned just at the end of August, and many of his followers are celebrating his work by re-engaging, and I wanted to do the same. What's really interesting is was sent out for him, I suppose, on his Twitter account. Wayne has left his body, passing away through the night. He always said he couldn't wait for this next adventure. And it is true that he did say that he indeed was not really afraid to die. He just considered it to be the next adventure, the next thing, the next wave of his own unfolding experience. And I have a tendency to agree with this. This is the truth of who we are. And what was really interesting for me and fun and engaging was that I actually did have a chance to meet with Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it was quite some time ago, and maybe back in 2001. And I was preparing for a radio program that I do on WBAI radio. I still am broadcasting over WBAI radio in New York City. And I was endeavoring to interview Wayne Dyer on his book. At that time, it was called A Promise is a Promise. And this was a beautiful book that told the story of a mother's unbelievable, unconditional love, and that her name was Eduardia Obera, Eduardia was the child of Mrs. Obera, and her child, Eduardia, had been in a diabetic coma for 26 years at that point when Wayne Dyer did the interview. And her mother had spent 26 years caring for her child. You know how it is with when a person goes into this kind of state, they're often put into a hospital institutional situation where their bodies are maintained until can't be maintained anymore. But this woman, the mother, took on this child's care and brought her home and cared for her every day of her life, even though she was in a coma. And it's just a lovely story. And at any rate, I was interested in doing this interview. My life had not been such. I'd never have yet to have a child, at least in this lifetime. But I did spend a good amount of time, maybe an equal amount of time, caring for my mother in that way. So I really felt a deep connection to this story, and I wanted to interview Wayne Dyer. So I was calling his publishers and reaching out to him and trying to find a way to make that connection to do this interview. And as it turns out, Wayne Dyer was coming to New York City, and he was saying, I actually did speak to his people, and they were like, well, he's coming to New York City, but he's very busy. We don't think he has time. But I said, well, let me talk to him, and maybe we can work something out. And he was very gracious. We got on the phone and had a conversation. And he was like, well, yeah, I am going to be in New York City, but I'm doing a conference. I actually believe it was the New Life Expo. And he was, I have all these lectures I'm going to do. I don't know when I'll have time. But if we can work it out, we'll work it out. And so that left us with a potential for doing this interview live, because that's really what I wanted to do. And as it turns out, he was like, well, I'll try to make it, but it'll have to be on a Saturday. It'll have to be 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's the only time that I have, and that's only if I can get to you and get back to my hotel in time. And so we made this arrangement for him to come to the studio, and I gave him the address. And it was so funny because the address at that time of WBAI radio was on 35th Street by 9th Avenue. And so I gave him the address, and he was started laughing and laughing, and he was saying, well, guess where I am? And I'm like, where? He said, I'm on 34th Street and 9th Avenue. He was staying at the New Yorker Hotel, so all he had to do was come downstairs, walk around the corner, and enter the studio of WBAI, and that's what he did. And so for me, it was a real synchronicity in that the situation worked out because, you know, it was a meaningful interview for me, and the subject was very meaningful to me. And he came, and he was a really tall gentleman, very stately, and he came over with his big smile, and he was laughing still that, you know, we ended up being right next door to each other. And we sat down, and I recorded this interview. And it was just a really beautiful interview. And I discovered as we were having this conversation that he was such a regular guy. And there was no pretension. There was no fanfare. He was probably one of the most humble people that I had an opportunity to work with in this field, I should say. Certainly most public speakers and authors, well, I won't say most, many, are very much about speaking of themselves, promoting themselves, having a certain way of demanding they be treated and respected and such. And while Wayne Dyer commanded a great deal of respect and honor, it was only by the presence, his countenance and his presence. He himself was very sweet and very humble and really kind of a gentle spirit. And I always thought of him as kind of a friend in a way, in that he was always there, accessible in his work. And my experience of engaging with him on a personal level was also very, very sweet. I want you to stay tuned. When we come back, I'm going to share a little bit more of the work of Dr. Wayne Dyer. But first, I want you to stay tuned for a few station announcements, and we will be right back.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Mueller from The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want to know what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America, tune in twice a week and get it from the horse's mouth, from someone like me who's had boots on the ground down here for over 20 years. Latin America is one of the only places left in the world where you can still live a first world life on a measly social security check. And with the first world imploding like it is, everybody needs a plan B. So, tune in every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time and every Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for The Expat Files, Living in Latin America.
Gary Null's incisive documentary and informational films on today's most crucial issues have won dozens of international awards. As a free service to listeners, acclaimed films such as War on Health and Seeds of Death are available to watch in their entirety online. Just go to YouTube and search for Gary Null. Thank you for your continued support.
You are listening to PRN, Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome you back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Catherine Davis, and today we are honoring the life of Dr. Wayne Dyer. And Dr. Dyer, I'll share with you again, was an internationally renowned author and speaker in the fields of self-development and spiritual growth. He's the author of over 41 books, and of those books are included 21 New York Times bestsellers. So that's pretty huge in terms of one's contribution, I have to say. And I am, I do have an interview with him, and I'm going to be searching through my archives, and when I pull it out, I will share it. I'll be playing that in a week or two or three, depending on how long it takes me to find it. But it's just a wonderful, lovely human being, and it's a wonderfully legacy that he has left for all of us. And I want to invite you to check out the work. You can find out a lot more about Dr. Wayne Dyer. And you can do that. You can probably just put it in your search engine and find page after page. But there is a website, drwaynedyer.com, and it's drwaynedyer.com. So you can go to that particular site and find tremendous information. I believe it's his official site, and you'll find a lot of information about Dr. Wayne Dyer and about all the legacy of his work, and you'll be able to find an opportunity to connect with a lot more of what he's offered into the world. And for me, I have found him to always have been an inspiration. I've listened to many of his talks. I have a lot of them. Not so much read the books, but I have listened to a lot of his talks. And coming up, we're going to be listening to another segment. And this is really a compilation. And it's a compilation of various talks that he has offered over time under the theme of choosing your own greatness. And that is actually the name of the audio program that it comes from. And we're going to listen to a clip that is taken from a piece called Arriving, Not Striving. So stay tuned and let's hear a bit more of Dr. Wayne Dyer.
Setting is something that a lot of confusion about. There's nothing wrong with having a goal as long as you don't fall in love with it, and as long as you understand that every step on the way to the achievement of the goal is just as important as every other step, including the one wherein you reach it. That we only get nows, we only get present moments to live, and that to want to be something 5 years from now assumes that you're going to be here then in this body in the way that you are living now. And that's a very blatant assumption, that if you always have that five-year notion, there will come a time when you won't be able to achieve that, because the future is promised to no one, and the past is like a canceled check. I mean, it's just gone, right? So that all we have are moments to live.
One of the things that's important to learn how to do is to act as if what you want is already there. To act that way. Not to act as if, maybe if I set all these goals and work real hard at them. You see, when I said that success is an inner concept, so is happiness, so is love, so is approval. If you think that you're going to find fulfillment if you set a goal out there, and then you work real, real hard for that goal, and when you get there, you'll finally have it, your life is all this striving. What you need is a psychology of arriving, not striving. You know, you're thinking about what I'm going to do and I'm going to get here. Meantime, every one of these days are your life. This is all you get. So the goals, while there's nothing wrong with goals at all, it's like every step along the way is just as important to savor as arriving here. And if you're only goal-oriented and only striving, you're only about halfway up the ladder of no limit people. You are always going to suffer from the disease of more if you only have goals to arrive at in the future. Because this becomes your life, this striving, striving, striving. And when you get here, you don't know what to do with this. You don't know how to handle what you got. So then you upgrade your goal. You say, all right, I'll have 200,000 in the bank instead of 100,000. And now your life becomes more struggling, more suffering, more trying to get there, trying to get there. And you get here, and then you, all of a sudden you look around and you're an old person. And you say, what happened to my life?
Not becoming. There's nothing in the world wrong with pursuing anything as long as you stay consistent with the truth. The truth is the most important thing you can have in your life. If you become a person, if you want anything to work on in your life, work on this. Everything that comes out of your mouth, every word that comes out of your mouth is exactly as it is and exactly as you are. That's a wonderful place to try to get to. All right? Now that can be construed as a goal, all right, in the goal setting sense. But each time that you slip doesn't mean you're less than valuable, that you're unimportant. It doesn't mean that at all. It simply means that you have something to learn from slipping. And so in this moment, appreciate what you have to learn from slipping rather than saying, I shouldn't have and I failed and that makes me bad and now I'm deficient and so on. You see, the more you operate from goal setting in the sense of repairing deficiencies, the more your life becomes one of striving. Your life becomes a striving. And when you, arrive at the place where you want it to be, you don't know how to be there because your whole life has been striving. If it's a week from Thursday, you're looking toward whatever it is, that party or the bank account that you're going to now have the amount of money that you wanted in it, and you finally get there after all the struggling, and then Thursday arrives, you don't know how to deal with that because your whole life has been in anticipation of, and so when you get there, you suffer from this disease called more, and I've got to get more of that. There's a lot of people out there, including many of you, who, while you're having your first cup of coffee, are thinking about the second cup. Or while you're having your appetizer, are wondering if you're going to be able to get a dessert. And all of this stuff called appetizer and your main course and all of that is something you just sort of forget about, don't experience, in anticipation of what it's going to be in the next moment, and the next moment. Now, the highest form of sanity that's out there and available for all of us is this present moment, the now. And making a peak experience, being able to make a peak experience out of a present moment, out of any present moment. Now, I read a book called The Idiot one time by Fyodor Dostoevsky. All right. Dostoevsky lived in the 1860s in Russia under the Tsar. Now, here's what happened to Dostoevsky. It's a true story. He was accused of being in alliance with a literary group of people in the Soviet Union in Moscow who were attempting to overthrow the Tsar by
talking about subversive ideas like freedom and people have a right to think for themselves and make choices and all the kinds of things that I've written about, for which I would have been executed many, many times over in most countries of the world. When Dostoevsky was a member of a small group, the Tsar said that he was a member. This was long before he was well known. This is when he was a young man. Right? He was sentenced to die. And he was put into a cell in Moscow. And in that cell, he knew that he was going to be dying, and he had been told the date. He was going to be shot by firing squad. And so they took five of them out, and they lined them up, and they put them in a stake. And they took a black shroud, and they wrapped it around each one of these five people's eyes. And the Tsar's guards shot the first man and killed him, and he got to watch that and witness that. Then they put the shroud around, and then they shot him. And he was next. He was the next man in line to die. Dostoevsky, the writer of Crime and Punishment, some of the greatest books ever written.
Okay.
And he was pardoned by the Tsar at the last moment and assigned to 10 years in prison at hard labor. And for some reason, he was spared at that moment, and the other two were also spared. Now, that's a true story. Dostoevsky, in writing in The Idiot, talks about the value of the present moment and learning how to get consumed in it. And when he saw a cockroach in his cell where he had been condemned to die, and he saw, it wasn't an annoyance. It wasn't some creature that was filthy that he didn't want. It was a miracle. Now, a lot of people...
The old saying is that life is what happens to you while you're making other plans. And you must understand that every moment in your life is a miracle to be lived. That you must stop looking for miracles in something in the future. And that not falling in love with your plan means that if you want to get someplace, terrific. Enjoy every step along the way. And then if you want to alter that, let's say you want to be a physician. You're young and you go to school and you went and all that, and then you realize, no, I don't think I want to go to medical school. That doesn't have to be a horrendous kind of letdown or a failure of some kind. You simply say, I think I'll move in this direction now. I'm moving. And every day you have to live fully. Rather than suffering or postponing your gratification or postponing your purpose in the pursuit of something in the future which may or may not arrive for you, and if it does, you'll very likely be a completely different person anyway. That's one of the hard things to understand. Heraclitus said, there's nothing permanent but change, you know. Change is the only thing there always is, including all of us all the time. So if you set a goal for yourself for a long time, you have to understand that you're going to be very, very different from the person that you are now. I had a good friend who was an internist, and he was in his 40s, and he said to me, you know, this practice is just getting to me. I'm owned by it, I'm making a lot of money and all that, but I don't want to do this. I want to be a sportscaster. He wanted to broadcast and wanted to practice on high school teams, and he always wanted to give that a try where he could be his own boss and not be a slave to it and all that. I said, well, why are you pursuing this, you know, you're a physician and all that, but why would you want to continue doing that? He said, well, I decided a long time ago that I was going to be a physician and that I can't change that now. I'm a doctor, and I said, who decided that you were going to be a physician? He said, well, I was 18 years old, and I made that decision. I said, would you go to an 18-year-old today to get vocational guidance for where you should be going in your life? Would you consult a teenager for that? He said, why, of course not. I said, well, isn't that what you're doing? If you're not happy and not being fulfilled in what you're doing in this moment, you have the option to change that, and you don't have to be attached to what you've been. What you've been is just the choices that you made then. And if you don't want to make those choices now, and I can hear a collective rumbling in America as I say that, which is, yes, but I have responsibilities. Yes, but I have a mortgage. Yes, but, and there's a lot of those yes buts. And I say to you that if you have always been responsible and paid your bills, then that is who you are, and that's what you ought to consult. Rather than someone who is telling yourself that a disaster is on the way, if you make a choice to be something that you never dreamt you could be. When I left the professorship and I left an opportunity to have tenure for the rest of my life and a lot of external kind of security and resigned and went across the country to talk about erroneous zones back in 1976, everyone told me how insane that I was. But I've never listened to what everyone else said, because you have to listen to who you are. And I knew that no matter what, my inner voices told me this is what I have to do. And you can't stop someone who knows they have to do it from doing it. The irony of that is that I made more money, and I never even tried to. I never thought I'd make money writing, because I had already written a whole lot of books that didn't make any money, textbooks and so on. And writing was just something that I am. And it wasn't anything I could quit, stop. I didn't want to. I loved it. I felt fulfilled and so on when I wrote. And I knew that I was leaving footprints and all of those things. The irony is that after I finally resigned and did what I wanted to do, I made more money in the first year that I went out and did what I really believed in and loved than I had made the entire 35 years previously of my life, my whole life. In 1 year, I made more money. And that isn't because I was lucky. That isn't because I'm Wayne Dyer and I had any opportunity. I didn't have any more opportunity than anybody else. In fact, I had less. I came from complete poverty and many years in foster homes and orphanages and having to earn my own way through everything. Wasn't that at all. It was when you advance confidently in the direction of your own dreams, and you go out there to live the life that you have imagined. Success will chase you and arrive in your life in external forms in an amount sufficient to take care of your needs. It will happen for you. As long as you stay there and tell yourself you've got to continue to do something you've always done it because you've always done it, then the only payoff you get for that is to defend your misery. It's like arguing for your limitations. The only thing you get are your limitations. And the people who love you, care about you, your family and so on, will support you consulting your inner voices and your inner signals and doing what it is that you know you have to do. And if you picture yourself being successful on it and you know that it's going to work and you won't let any other image into you, it will get stored away within you exactly the same as if you are out working on it. And if you guide yourself by that image and just won't let that image out, you can't not make it happen. You can't. It's that law of the universe, because an image gets stored away the same as an experience. And every obstacle you just see as an opportunity to see what I've got to do to shift and to do it. Meantime, you're feeling purposeful and you're being purposeful. You're no longer looking for a purpose. You are your purpose.
And that was Dr. Wayne Dyer. And he was a very inspiring person. He offered so much into the world, and I'm really glad to have been able to share a bit with you about his work. And again, Wayne W. Dyer, Dr. Wayne Dyer, was an internationally renowned author and speaker in the fields of self-development and spiritual growth. And you can find a lot more about his work by going to his website, drwaynedyer.com, drwaynedyer.com, drwaynedyer.com. And one of the greatest gifts that we received, I believe, from Wayne Dyer or any other of these really remarkable speakers is that they help us to make a connection into our own beings, into our own bodies, into our own life. And so let's, as a tribute to Dr. Wayne Dyer and the work that he offered into the world, into the universe, take a moment to make that deep personal connection. Breathe into your own body. Breathe into your own lungs. Feel the movement, the little quirky movements in your body. Feel the feelings. How does your stomach feel? How does your chest feel? How are your emotions feeling? Are you connecting to your dreams, as we heard earlier in the program? Are you connecting to yourself on a level that flows deeper than the surface world issues that we have to deal with? We all have tragedies and problems that are in our lives that we find come up and sometimes get in the way. But we can connect to who we truly are. And who we truly are is really not this everyday mundane experience that we have. Who we truly are is the experiencer, the person that's watching, the person that is absorbing and contemplating and making the connection and having the understandings. And I had a very interesting experience. I was doing my own meditation this morning. I wake up about 4 a.m. to do a meditation when it's quiet and the world is peaceful, the energy is peaceful. And as I was going into that deeper connection, it helps for me to really listen for my heartbeat. And making that connection to the heartbeat and breathing into the heartbeat. And that's one of the ways that we can work to connect deeply into our own being, by feeling the movement of our functions that are going on within us, feeling the movement of our emotions, no judgment, just feeling what it is. Hearing the heartbeat is a very powerful way of connecting to the self. And so, as our tribute to Dr. Wayne Dyer, I want you to benefit from what certainly was his mission, a mission that I share, that many of us share, of transforming, changing the world, making it into a dynamic experience that we are co-participating in, co-creating. And you can become that co-creator as you connect with your deeper self. And as this morning, as I was listening to the energy and to the beat of my own heart, I did hear, and I often hear coming, arriving into my awareness as words, as feelings, as light, as a message. And what I heard was, I am that which beats your heart. And so there's two ways that you can look at it. You can look at it as if, oh, I'm receiving a message from that being, that source that is responsible for the beating of my own heart, which is true in that message. But you could also hear it from the perspective of, I am that which beats my own heart. So it's not the heart beating that is the all of what you are. It's not the body that we're experiencing through that is the all of what we are. It's not the world that we're living in that is the all of what we are. We are that which beats the heart. So when we can identify with that level of our being, then we can truly become the resonance and the co-creation that becomes the life that we live. So I want to thank you for joining me today. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And you can connect with me, Catherine, by email. And you can do that by sending an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com. That's heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And you can also connect with me on Facebook. It's a really cool way to connect back and forth. And the spelling of my name is Catherine, K-A-T-H-R-Y-N. So it's Catherine Davis. You can find me on Facebook, and we can connect that way. Or you may be able to leave a message by dialing 347-480-1694. I have to say that for me, though, the best way to connect is through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I want to thank you for staying tuned and listening to us here on the Progressive Radio Network as we go forward in time, such as it is. We will continue to connect with inspiring talks and connecting deep within ourselves. But I'm also interested in connecting locally with those of you who are offering services into the community. Perhaps you're a healer, a practitioner, a teacher. You have information, websites. Send me something. Send it by email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, and we can connect. And for those of you who might be interested in receiving healing services, I do Reiki, energy healing, the Sandlin technique, which is indigenous bodywork, Qigong classes, which I will be resuming coming up very soon. All of that we can connect through email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. I want to thank you for being with us today, and stay tuned for more great programming as we head to our closing theme. And there'll be much more great stuff coming up today over the Progressive Radio Network. Just to let you know, the opening theme of this show is Frog Dancing by David Anthony Clark. And the other pieces of music, the music in the middle, Road Trip, is a composition of my own, and coming up, Trance Meditation, is also my own composition, or soundscape, as I call it. Stay tuned, and we'll be back next week for more great programming as well.